May only the truth be spoken, and may only the truth be heard. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. From our baptismal covenant, we hear, "Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?" So what about that guy next door? It's fine if you're getting along with that neighbor next door, but if not, I'm seeing a... Then it makes it pretty hard to love that neighbor, doesn't it? Every baptismal preparation course that I've participated in over the years, that question is asked, and as you can imagine, it very often elicits quite... an animated response. And in fact, we often hear some hair-raising stories about what neighbors do to neighbors, sometimes involving a little bit of violence, certainly threats, even illegal activity. Now, if we take those examples out of our neighborhoods, where they have a very direct and immediate impact on us, and we place them around the world. On this day, say in Iraq and Syria, Sudan or Myanmar, or Niger or Nigeria or Cameroon, or Congo, or Ukraine. Or here at home, think about our provincial and federal governments and Canada's Indigenous people. And even there, we find the same kind of falling out among neighbors, which leads to lack of respect for one another. It can lead to harm with respect to property, health, life. It was Jesus who taught us that the Lord our God is one Lord, and we must love the God with all our heart, all our mind, all of our strength, all of our soul. That was the first commandment, and the second was like unto it, that we must love our neighbors as ourselves. And on these two commandments, he said, hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, everything I want to tell you in my ministry, I can sum up right here in these two commandments. And while we have been content to attribute these first and second great commandments to Jesus, certainly he repeated them. They don't originate with him. You'll find them actually in the book of Leviticus, which is one of the five books of the Torah, or the Law, or the Pentateuch. And there we hear, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And further, in a reference to what we would call a stranger, someone unknown to us, we hear the alien and think stranger, the alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Jesus, of course, was a good and devout Jew. He taught the law. He knew Hebrew scriptures. He knew the Torah in detail. He would have been very familiar with these commands that we find in Leviticus, and he would have taught them. As a teacher, he would have been an upholder of the law, of which these Leviticus commandments are a part. So this simply calls us to ask, who are our neighbors? Who are our neighbors? And beyond that, what does our love look like to our neighbors? And if we just step out of this sanctuary, this worship space, this church, and go outside and look around to our immediate community, and we say, okay, this is our neighborhood, we would discover that these are our neighbors by proximity. They live nearby. But we might also discover that we don't know many of them. We know Michelle, who lives nearby, but many of them we simply don't know. So they fall into that category of strangers. They have no relationship with us or this church. So what does our love look like to them? How do we go about making them feel welcome here? Well, maybe the live nativity on December the 2nd is a way to do that. That encourages the community. And I think it's a pretty fun event. And perhaps at this service every week being child-friendly or young person-friendly is another way to be welcoming and to love our neighbors. Now, at this service, we did not hear from St. Paul this morning because given everything we have been through in recent weeks with Moses, I thought it was more important to hear about his death and burial. But in St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, had we heard from him, he echoes the commandments in Leviticus. As he writes to the church in Thessalonica, in using the metaphor of a nurse caring for children or a nursing mother, Paul says, "So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us." This image, one of tender, self-giving, nurturing, feeding, holding, mirrors Jesus' own giving of himself to his disciples. And we hear it in his words, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you." And while I need to say I do not share her particular perspective of God and her theology, Karen Armstrong, in her book, A History of God, notes that our ancestors in the faith saw acts of compassion and tenderness as acts of holiness. When we nurture, feed, and serve, we are imitating the very nature of God's goodness and God's compassion. They also understood all people to be created in God's image. So any offense against a neighbor is also an offense against God. Like Jesus, they could not separate love for God and love for neighbor. Current battles within churches and among the world's religions, and we have more than a few of those today, and the violence done to neighbors in the name of love for God may make us wonder if it is possible to love God deeply and passionately and love our neighbors as ourselves. Are those two at odds with one another? And yet Paul gives us a place to begin. And that's with tender, loving care for our neighbors. Whenever we practice compassion for a neighbor, we are loving God. Whenever we feed or nurture another human being with the substance of our lives, we are loving God. There is no other way to love God but by loving our neighbor as ourselves. That's how we express our love for God, by expressing our love for others. And as Christians, we are meant to be example setters. And as such, we must at least attempt to love our neighbors. Jesus didn't say we had to like our neighbors, but he did say we had to love them. That is, to care about them as God's children and to have compassion for them. In expressing God's love, we need go no further than the Mary Street Community School Milk Program or support for the Pecanjikum Potable Water Project, or support we provide to Simcoe Street Settlement House, Gate 316, and a number of others. And in the wider community, the support of five deanery parishes are providing to a Syrian refugee family until next year and possibly beyond. And a number of our Anglican sisters and brothers in Toronto Diocese have lent both their financial and physical support to Habitat for Humanity, a program that reflects Jesus' commandments to love others as ourselves and to love one another as he has loved us. This program helps people who probably would never own a home get into one through the care and generosity of suppliers and trades who donate their time and their goods. Former U.S. President Jimmy Carter, who is a devout Christian, as you probably know, and who has written extensively about his faith, has been associated with the Habitat program for a long, long time. And there are many other examples among the parishioners of Christ Church of loving our neighbors as ourselves. Just to mention a few, the many volunteers at the hospital and in community care, our pastoral care visitors who visit people in hospital and in long-term care. And what about all the willing hands that pulled together that amazing Christmas Day dinner? And in addition, this is the part we never see. In addition, there's so many more acts of compassion and kindness and love that we never see, that are unheralded, but they're extended by you, the members of this body of Christ, every single day. And these acts and these involvements are examples of loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. The first letter of John tells us that God is love. Scripture also tells us that we are made in the image and likeness of God. If we put those two together, given that we reflect the image and likeness of God, then we too are love. And we are meant to share that love with all we meet. Even if we don't quite manage to achieve that shared love with everyone, the important thing is that we must try. And I want to share a story with you of someone who did just that. And it was a bitterly cold day in February. A small boy stood shivering on a steel grate on a downtown sidewalk. His clothes were thin and tattered. A woman, appropriately dressed for the weather, stopped and engaged the youngster in conversation. He was indeed a child of the street. The compassionate stranger took him to a clothing store and outfitted him from head to foot, including cap, scarf, and gloves. The lad was filled with joy and gratitude. He could not thank her enough. As they said goodbye and walked in opposite directions, the elated boy turned back to ask, "Are you God's mother?" The gentlewoman answered, "Oh no, I am just a child of God." Whereupon the smiling lad remarked, "I knew you were related." And so perhaps, brothers and sisters, perhaps are we. Amen.